will be unable to meet Monitor's financial targets next year. To what extent is anyone going to take responsibility?
For the non-technical, as it were, the Monitor is the sort of regulator. There are 147 NHS Foundation Trusts, Norman Lamb will correct me if I'm wrong, 38 of them look as if they're going to be overspent, which is roughly a third. That leaves aside those that are already overspent in the that aren't yet independent foundation trusts. I'm going to come to you first, Norman Lamb, on this. What do you do about this?
Well, the first thing to say is that the NHS performs incredibly well despite extraordinary pressures. So throughout the last year, we have maintained our A&E target, which means that people get treated in A&E and discharged or admitted to hospital within 4 hours. That's the target. 95% of people, we've managed to hit that target despite extraordinary pressures. But I think everyone recognises that across the whole Western world, we are seeing health costs rising at about 4% a year. This is because, in part, we're all living longer. And there is extraordinary pressure of people living often for many years with a mix of chronic conditions. We have 1.9 million people today who live with three or more chronic conditions, often a mix of mental health and physical health. That's likely to increase to 3 million people by 2025. This pressure keeps growing, and so we have to find ways of making the system work better, make it more efficient, to ensure that we can sustain an institution which I suspect we are all in this room incredibly proud of. And I think there are things that we have to do. We have to move from a focus on repairing damage once it's done to preventing ill health in the first place. It's so much better to invest in prevention of ill health and preventing a deterioration of health. We have to move from a horribly fragmented system to one that's joined up around the needs of the individual patient. These big changes have to happen if we're to make the system more efficient and indeed to deliver better care.
It sounds that the government is sounding quite tough, overspend, can't get away with overspend. In reality, in the past, there's always been a bailout. In this case, if you've got 38 foundation trusts overspent, 33 trust development authorities overspent, do you say it's absolutely outrageous, but here's the money?
There is a real danger if the culture is always, and it always has been in the NHS, that ultimately you'll get bailed out. Encourages organisations not to really focus on getting themselves financially efficient.
So no bailouts?
That has to be the objective.
That's slightly different, isn't it?
And indeed, we look across the system and we see very many hospitals who have achieved incredible efficiency savings and are delivering great care. I visited a hospital in the States recently, run by a not-for-profit organisation, and their mantra they gave to me was, if we pursue the best possible safety, the best possible care, actually it costs less. And that the whole focus of the NHS has to be on achieving safety, patient safety, and best care, compassionate care. And if you do that, you actually save money.
I should, of course, said we're talking at the moment so far about the NHS in England, because the NHS has devolved in Scotland and in Wales. In Wales, I noticed that today the health secretary has described Wales as sleepwalking into a mid-staffs tragedy, Alvin Clwyd.
Well, there are faults within the NHS in Wales. I would be foolish to deny that. But actually, what is now happening is that the NHS in Wales is becoming something of a political football. Every Prime Minister's question is the Prime Minister has an excuse to say something bad about the NHS in Wales. The reality about the NHS in Wales, as a person who recently had knee surgery, is that when you've been in and out of hospital, 99% of patients are full of admiration for the staff. It's an excellent level of service that they get. But let me tell you, where I think the problem lies, and Norman is more of an expert than I am, but the problem exists in Wales as it does in England. The formation of all these trusts, the fragmentation of the NHS, the creation of huge swathes of middle management at £120,000, £140,000, time-wasting paperwork, money being thrown into shifting paper around instead of paying properly for nurses and for doctors. That's where the problem lies, actually. I'm not saying that Wales is any better. It is in some on some scales, it's slightly worse in some areas.
Are you
but
with
actually,
your... Sorry.
We could do away with all this middle management to start again. Do we need all these trusts, Norman, actually?
Well, the fragmentation, as you say, is ridiculous. And, we have over the years managed to institutionally separate mental health from physical health. Does that make any sense from the patient's point of view? So often there are what we call comorbidities, people suffering from both a physical health problem, perhaps diabetes or a heart condition, and they suffer from depression, and yet we send them off to different institutions, separating off their care. We should be treating the whole person.
There's also the notion now gaining traction in Wales that we need social care and healthcare to come together.
But in England, we are doing just that.
Right.
In 2015-16, we have created a £3.8 billion Better Care Fund to pool health and social care budgets.
I want to bring in both Janwell and Liam Fox, but just before I do, Alvin talks about political football. Is your boss right to describe the Welsh NHS as sleepwalking into a mid-staff's tragedy, as you said today?
Well, I think, the Nuffield Trust itself talked about alarm at the extending waiting lists and the number of people who are now waiting for treatment in Wales, and the waiting lists are getting longer. And they haven't in Wales hit their A&E target, I don't think, ever. So there are real problems in the Welsh NHS, and
so he's right.
And Labour
the Nuffield
NHS.
Trust this week also said that outcomes in Wales are improving more quickly than in England, and that cancer targets are being hit in Wales where they're not being hit in England. And I think it was completely outrageous when the Prime Minister said today. He said today he was on Offa's Dyke, and it was death one's living one side and death the other. I live on the English side of Offa's Dyke, where some of my friends who have wanted mental health treatment go into Wales because they get better mental health treatment than they get in England.
But the truth is that the Nuffield Trust report still concluded that the English system was operating better than the Welsh or the Scottish system. That is actually what
you still get more nurses in Wales than you do in England. But can I also say, Norman, that it is completely outrageous that you talk about a fragmented health service and how awful that it is, when it is your government that has made most fragmentation in this health service. It is your government that has introduced such a level of competition in the health service that it's completely fragmented.
It's simply not true.
It is.
And the whole thrust of our policy is to join up this very fragmented system to deliver better care and to achieve much more preventive care.
Clearly you don't talk to many medical people in your job.
No, I talk to them the whole time.
I'm going to bring in Dr. Fox. You've had some very critical things to say about the fact that in England the health service has been ring fence. The question is about running out of money. How do you square those two issues?
Well, as somebody who worked in the NHS for 10 years as a hospital doctor, then a GP, I just think a lot of the debate is upside down. Everybody talks about the input into the system, how much money is being spent, and the structure of the system. What actually matters is what's coming out of the system and how well the patients are actually being looked after. This is not a system that's run for the bureaucrats or the politicians. It should be run for the patients. And there are far too many problems in that. Now, there's something called the Global Burden of Disease Study, which looks across healthcare systems, not just in the UK, but internationally. And the last Labour government put a lot of money into the health service. The current government's putting even more money into the health service, and yet on a number of health measures, on things like premature mortality, on things like ischemic heart disease, chronic lung disease, breast cancer, esophageal cancer, we're not getting the outputs in our system that are even remotely proportionate to the increase that's going into the system, and we should be asking ourselves why. And I think there are very patient-orientated reasons. We're not sorting out the problem of GP access at the present time. We're not getting direct access to secondary care the way they have in lots of other countries. And when it comes to screening and prevention, Norman is right. But we spend all this money on extremely expensive machines like MRI scanners, and they sit idle for too many hours of the 24 hours in the day, and at weekends and at public holidays. And if the public is investing in their taxes in all this equipment, they've got a right to ensure that it's being used fully, to ensure that the maximum number of patients are getting screening. And if I had something wrong with me that required an MRI scan, I'm absolutely sure I wouldn't mind if I had to go at midnight to get